Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you hear this message from Pastor Josh Thompson.
It is good to see you. Powerful time this morning. I want to welcome everybody in the Family Center. Can we welcome everybody over there? Come on. I love when God's moving when your phone begins to blow up with like prophetic words that people are sending you in the middle of worship time. I wanted to read this one from a friend of mine, Amy Short. She sent me this. She said, I really can't believe I'm even sending this right now. That's a good way to start a prophetic text. She said, so I've been seeing 1111 everywhere, the time, address, Instagram, receipts, everywhere. Even as I begin to type this, it's 1111. It's funny. She said, I've been seeing this for about a month. I've spent a significant amount of time in scripture and prayer thinking this was something personal between me and the Lord. And to a point, it is. She says, but I'm convinced it is corporate as well. 11 is the last hour before the new day. It's transitional, often for something that's overdue. Deuteronomy 11:11 says, the land you are going over to possess will be a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. She says, I am confident, this is also a word for our city, Springfield will be a land that drinks rain from heaven. Come on. I believe that. It's so good. So good. It's so good to see you this morning. I got to tell you, this last Wednesday, we had another prayer night, and the room was packed. You know when that God is up to something when in the middle of the summer, we're packed out with people wanting to pray in the middle of the week. So good. So good. So much hunger. It's so good. We're going to be taking, as they mentioned, July is going to be a little different. And then we're coming back to prayer nights in August. So all of August, we're going to be praying again. It's going to be so good. So over the last few weeks, I just wanted to do a quick recap of where we've been. Is that all right with you? Quick recap of where we've been over the past few weeks. We've been in the first four chapters of the book of Acts, and it's been powerful seeing the birth of the New Testament church, hasn't it? And the title of the series that I've been doing is called The Church I See. And the heart of that message is not really the church I see. I believe it's the hunger and the heart for the church that he sees that he wants us to be. And that's what the heart of this series is. And we started in Acts chapter 1 with a promise from Jesus to the disciples. And it was this promise. Hey, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. That's the promise. And after he said this to the disciples, it said he ascended. He was lifted up into heaven. From that moment, we jump into Acts chapter 2 where the disciples are gathered in this upper room, they called it, 120 of them in this place, and they're praying. How many know the New Testament church is birthed in prayer? And it's not only birthed in prayer, it actually continues in prayer. And this sound of heaven, that's what it says, a sound from heaven. It comes, mighty rushing wind blows in and fills the entire house where they were. It says literally, fire from heaven literally rests upon each of them. The Bible's clear there. It doesn't say some of them. It actually says on each of them, the fire from heaven. I love the song we sang earlier, the fire's going to fall. I want to tell you, the fire has fallen. And the fire will fall. And it will continue to fall. And we need fresh fire. It isn't a one-time fire. It's a continual fire of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to accomplish the mission he's given us. So this fire rests on each of them and says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So literally, this whole picture of the New Testament church in Acts 2 is an invasion of heaven on earth. And what happens from this moment is that Peter gets up, he stands up, and he begins to pastor what God is doing. He begins to make some sense of all of this stuff. And he says, he stands up with boldness and he declares, hey guys, this is what the prophet Joel said was coming. And it's not just coming anymore, it's here. He said, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Says there's going to be miraculous Signs and wonders are going to happen. Young men are going to see visions, and old men are going to dream dreams. And he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the multitude is gathered together because they heard this sound from heaven, and the good news of Jesus Christ is preached. And in verse 41 of chapter 2, it says, those who received his word were baptized, and it says there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. If 3,000 people came to Jesus today in this place, we'd have to get the tractor out front to dig us a big lake out there, a big hole, fill it up, and start baptizing them. I would love to dig a big hole out there. People loved it. We'd have to keep the snakes and all the stuff out of there, but I think we should, man, I want that to happen. We'd know who the real Christians were if they really got saved, if they'd get in the lake out there. Acts chapter 3, spent a whole day on this, the healing of the lame man who was unable, he was born unable to walk, 40 years being lame, spends his days begging. His friends literally go and drop him off in front of the temple, and he spends his days asking for money until one day Peter and John walk by. And it says they actually stopped. They actually looked at this man. And they actually said, hey, you need to look at us right now. We know you need money. We don't have that. We know that you're wanting something from us. We know that you think you know what you want, but we actually have what you really need. And they say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he says, rise up and walk. And that man was instantly healed by the power of God. And because of this healing, you know, everybody had seen this man over the years, you know, sitting there begging, and all of a sudden they see him walking around, and this miracle causes a stir, and people begin to gather, and the gospel is proclaimed in that moment because of this supernatural miracle. And it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 3, it says, right out of this moment, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. 5,000. The church is growing. And the religious leaders don't like it. And Peter and John, they get detained. They actually get arrested overnight, held overnight, and they begin to face this major opposition. And it says, the religious leaders were greatly annoyed by all of this. I don't know why that makes me smile. I like it when the religious spirit gets annoyed. I think it's an anointing on my life to just get excited about that. And so they get annoyed. How many know that when God does a new thing, it often annoys the old thing? Have you experienced that in your own life? I have. When God starts doing a new thing, sometimes it actually annoys the old thing that was going on in my life, and it takes me a minute, and I have to adjust with what he's doing now in the new. So these religious leaders, they see the boldness of Peter and John. It says they saw it on them. And it says they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. And it says that they were astonished by this. But what they don't realize is that this is the new thing that Jesus is doing. This is the new way. He is now using ordinary, common people. He loves to use the ones you'd never imagine. How many are thankful for that? He loves to use the weak things to confound the wise. And so these religious leaders, they tell John and Peter to stop preaching, but this spirit of the Lord is upon them, and they rise up with boldness, and they respond. They say, actually, that's going to be impossible. That's actually going to be impossible for us to stop speaking of what we've seen and heard, because we've seen too much and we've heard too much. They're like, we actually walked with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for years on the earth. And now we just got Holy Spirit filling, and we're bold, and we can't turn back. We've been with Jesus, and now we're full of the Spirit, and we ain't going back. Turn to somebody, say, I ain't going back. Come on, tell them. You know, when you've tasted and you've seen that the Lord is good, you cannot go back. I mean, that's why I believe in when you have an encounter with God and you have tasted of him and you have seen of his goodness, it is very difficult to go back. It's very difficult to go back. So the religious leaders, they threaten them. And they charge them. They just say, you got to stop this preaching of Jesus. But with all the threats and all the opposition, and they actually increase as you go through this, the book of Acts, they didn't stop. What did they do? They respond to this with prayer. They respond to this with prayer. They go to prayer. They don't get violent. They don't start throwing stones. They don't grumble. They don't start getting all negative and posting it on Facebook. That's a word for somebody. Just receive that word. They don't do any of that. They go to prayer. They respond and they get their friends together and they go to prayer. And what do they pray for? They pray for more boldness. They pray for more boldness. And we spent our time last week in this. I want to read it again. And this is their prayer in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. It's going to be on the screen. Here's the prayer. Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Everybody say boldness. Boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It says, and then when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Everybody say shaken. Shaken. And they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, here's what I want to say to you about that. They were filled in chapter 2, but they had to get refilled again. When the persecution comes and all the stuff that they've been pouring out, they had to come back and get filled again. They had to get shaken again. They had to get filled up again so that they could continue in the mission. But here's the thing. These guys, they are ordinary people, empowered by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate extraordinary things. Over and over, we see this theme in the scripture. They get filled with the Spirit. Boldness comes upon them. Signs and wonders, miracles, healing is released. The gospel's preached. And then what happens? The church adds to their numbers daily. The church adds to their numbers daily. People repent. People get baptized. People get saved. People go from death to life, and it keeps happening all through the book of Acts. Yeah, thank you for that clap. Jesus thanks you for it. I'm just kidding. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. We didn't even touch on this. I'm just going to grab a few of these passages so we can see this theme. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 says this. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done. Regularly done. Among the people by the hands of the apostles. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Can we say that together? Believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. This is radical. The people also gathered from the towns and around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I believe that we are going to see this sort of thing happen. I believe that we are called to see this happen. I believe that this was not just for the New Testament church, but it was for this New Testament church as well. Signs and wonders happening regularly. And then what happens? More than ever, believers are added. They brought the sick. They brought the afflicted. They brought those that were all bound up with all kinds of things, and they were all healed. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says that the word of God kept spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly. The church is growing. You jump to chapter 9, verse 31. The church had peace and was being built up. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Acts 11, verse 24. And a great many people were added to the Lord.
Do you see this continual growing? People are coming to faith. People are coming to the goodness of Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith and they increased in numbers daily. The church we're seeing here adds to their numbers daily. And they're not grabbing them from the church across town. The church that we're to be is a church that opens our arms and shares our faith and boldly proclaims the good news, which includes signs, wonders, miracles, and healing. And we boldly proclaim that God is love. We boldly proclaim the love of the Father to those that are outside of this building. You see, churches that are stuck are almost entirely focused on those who already have a relationship with Jesus. Churches tend to drift towards insider ways, insider thinking. Don't misunderstand me. An important part of what we do is equip the body, right? It's shepherding the flock. It's taking care of the household of faith. That's an important part of our focus, but it isn't the entire focus. It is not the entire focus. The church we see here adds to their numbers daily. Those who are coming to Jesus. Jesus has called us to be a Great Commission church. He's called us. He's commissioned us with a mission from himself. From the Father. Are you tracking with me? Because I'm sweating, which means something. I'm not sure. Guys, whether I'm in shape or not, I sweat, okay? I know. Someone's like, he's got to get to the gym. I'm like, yes, but I still sweat. Anyways, let's focus on Jesus again. Here's what I want to say to you. We need radical Holy Spirit encounters. We need extravagant worship like we had this morning. We need more of it. We need more. We need powerful experiences in his presence that mark us forever. We need more. We need a fresh filling over and over. We should be prophesying. We should be seeing signs and wonders and miracles, the gifts in operation, because we're a spirit-filled church. This isn't a charismatic Pentecostal thing. It's a New Testament church. But for what? It's to do something out there. I get passionate about it. I'm not mad. It's just passion. It's to do something out there. So that's the recap. Okay, I want to bring you up to speed. But for today, I'm going to calm down. I want to back up a little bit. I want to go just before the book of Acts starts, to the book of John. Right after Jesus was crucified and he was risen from the dead, but the disciples hadn't seen him yet. They didn't know it yet. So in this chapter, we have the disciples, they've gathered together in John chapter 20, and they're fearful of the Jews, okay? Because Jesus had just been crucified. Peter had just denied Jesus just days before this moment. It was a confusing, fearful, wild time. You know, think about it. These guys had been with Jesus every day for like a couple of years, And now he's been crucified before their eyes, and all of a sudden he's gone. They think he's dead. And all of a sudden, in this chapter, this lady named Mary Magdalene, she comes running to the disciples, and she comes in and she says, I've just seen Jesus. She starts singing that Sandy Patty song. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord. And then all of a sudden, Larnell Harris comes in. He starts saying, I knew. He really saw me too. I've just seen Jesus. Okay, if you're 40 or older, you get it. I promised myself I wouldn't start singing it, but I wanted to, but I'm not. So she's like, I've just seen Jesus. He's alive. So here's the scene, the atmosphere of John 20, and it says the disciples were all locked up together and they were literally afraid. And out of nowhere, Jesus comes and stands among them and says, peace be with you. And he shows him his hands and he shows him
his side. And he says it again in verse 21. He says to them, "Peace be with you." How many want to just receive that peace this morning? You can just right now, just lift your hand actually. I didn't do this in 8:30. Just lift your hand, just say, "Peace of God upon you. There's a peace of God be released upon you right now. Peace be to you. In Jesus' name." So he says this, "Peace to you." And then he says this most mind-blowing, missional, visional, life-changing statement. And it's this. I've been chewing on it for a while. He says, "As the Father has sent me, even so, I'm sending you." As the Father has sent me, even so, I'm sending you. This one sentence is absolutely astonishing if you think about it. It's the vision statement of vision statements. It's like the mission statement of mission statement. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Turn around somebody and tell them, this is for you. Come on, tell them, look them in the eyes, this is for you. So Jesus is literally saying, I see some awkward looks. I know, it's so awkward. You're like, please don't do that again, Pastor Josh. I cannot promise that I won't. So Jesus is saying, in other words, he's saying, what you saw in me, the world is going to see through you. He's saying, what you saw me do, you're going to do. What you saw me do, you're going to do. In other words, you're going to do the stuff I did. Can you imagine the disciples at this moment? Again, they're all locked up in fear. And I have a vivid imagination in my mind. I have funny thoughts a lot. And I'm just like, I'm getting into the story. I'm imagining the disciples, you know, Jesus comes and he says this. And I can imagine being like, Jesus, we're kind of a mess right now. You know, like we're kind of a mess right now. And you might not have noticed when you walked through the walls magically with your post-resurrection powers and just appeared to us. But we're actually locked up in here on purpose because we're deathly afraid of the people out there. Like, think about it. They're like so afraid. And then I like imagine like one of the other guys like just being like, and also, did you know what Peter did? Did you know how many times he did it? I'm a dad of 3 kids. This sort of thing happens a lot. You know, one of the kids wants to point out every detail of what the other one did wrong. I just kind of like imagine that. Jesus simply says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And as if that isn't enough, and apparently it's not, look at what Jesus does in the next verse, verse 22. He says, and when he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, it gets better. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. At that moment, I imagine somebody else to pipe up and be like, did we mention what Peter did? Some of you think that's funny, some of you don't. It just, I hear that. Like really? You believe in us? How could you believe in us? But Jesus believes in his disciples. Jesus actually thinks they can do it. And I want to declare it over you today that Jesus actually believes in you. It's a gospel of belief. It's a gospel of empowerment. He's actually not asking them if they want to do it. He's actually giving them a command. You know, they could have come back to him. They could have responded to him and say, we thought only God could forgive sins. And they would be right. But what he's saying here is God is going to forgive sins through them. They're to announce the message of forgiveness, right? He's saying you're going to announce the message of forgiveness for all who believe in Jesus. They're also going to warn the world that sin is a disease and it's deadly. And that if it remains and you don't get rid of it and you don't repent, it can cause death. In other words, they're going to rebuke and warn, not because they're seeking power for themselves like the religious leaders had, but because it's God's message to a confused and lost world. Repent and be forgiven. And then this command comes right after he blows on them to receive the Holy Spirit. The point of receiving the Holy Spirit is not just to have new spiritual experiences. But as we've seen, they have plenty of them, don't they, in Acts? The point isn't to turn them into some super spiritual, higher, holier than thou club. Though they are absolutely walking in devotion to Jesus and releasing the miraculous. The point of the Holy Spirit is so that they can do in and for the world what Jesus had been doing in Israel while he's on earth. Through the power of the Spirit, they're going to actually implement what Jesus achieved through his death and his resurrection. And guess what? We get to do it too. We get to do it too. As the Father sent Jesus, he's sending us. I think we should write that scripture, that one line, on our mirrors in our bathroom so you see it every time you brush your teeth. Every time you're getting ready, we should put it as a screensaver. As the Father sent Jesus, he's sending me. What if that was the lens of our lives? What if that was what we saw everything through? This is what it means to be an apostolic people. It simply means we're sent ones. It simply means that every extraordinary or ordinary moment of my life now has purpose. Every seemingly monotonous moment has divine empowerment available to me. That we're a people who live from a place of mission, of being sent, who carry the culture of a king and his kingdom, and we're sent to establish it in the land that we've been given. This is the call that through every place I put my foot and every conversation I have, I actually get to release him. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whether I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a secretary, or I'm a barista, or I, you know, whatever it is that I do, I'm a husband, a wife, a friend, wherever you are, if you're a believer, you're a sent one. If you are a believer, you are a sent one. And how is he sending us? He's sending us through the power of the Holy Spirit to do things that you could never do on your own, to say things you could never say, that your personality wouldn't allow you to. But under the unction and the power of the Spirit, you will be bold and rise up and do and say the things that he tells you to. As the Father sent me, I send you. And you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit upon you in operation in your life to accomplish the assignment. This is what Jesus was talking about earlier in John 14. Probably many of you have this scripture memorized, verse 12 in chapter 14. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." So he's saying, I'm going to the Father, but I'm leaving you here to do the works that I did and actually even greater works. How many want to be a part of doing actually even greater things? It sounds almost like bad to say, but Jesus said we do even greater works than what he did. And here's the question. Why would we expect God to equip and fill his people with the power of the Spirit at the beginning of the race and then leave us to drag ourselves weak and empty across the finish line later on now? No way. What we're seeing happen through all of Acts is for us today and actually for more. He isn't coming back for a lukewarm, powerless church who barely made it through. He's coming for a church who shines with brightness, who shines with righteousness, full of Jesus, full of power, on display for the world to see. And here's the thing. Sometimes I feel like following Jesus for many has just become this very tame, boring idea of just survival. Like I'm just trying not to have a lustful thought today. Or like I'm just trying not to get mad or be bad. Like, Obviously, we grow our character. We want to reflect him in every way. But what we're seeing here is a call to an adventure. It's a call to a mission. And when we lose our mission, we lose our way. You hear me? We lose our mission, we lose our way. And the great commission Jesus gives us is this mission to go, make disciples, baptize them, teach everybody everything I've commanded you. And I think most in the church think that this job is for the professionals, the people who hold a microphone and sweat in front of people. You know? But I want to say a giant no to that mentality. And I want to just release over you today that the mission is for everybody. That the truth is that most of you in this room know more about the Bible and more about Scripture and more about the presence of God than most pastors in foreign countries. You've heard so much. We know so much, but we fear so much. See, religion and the lie of the enemy, they want to make us afraid and feel unready. They want to scream at you, you can't. You won't know what to say. You won't know what to do. And they want to weigh you down with what you aren't. But Jesus always comes and believes in who you are. He always comes and speaks to who you are, not what you aren't. And I believe today, hear me on this, it's really important. I believe that the enemy has lied to many in the church saying, you're not qualified, you aren't this, you aren't that, you aren't ready, you can't. Oh, be careful. Be careful. You got to calm down. What about this area of your life? What about that area of life? What about this problem? Like, you don't really know enough to tell somebody about Jesus. Church, I believe we need a full-fledged deliverance of these lies. I believe we need a full-fledged deliverance of these lies so that the gospel can go forth through all of us and so that we can begin to add to our numbers daily again instead of just exchanging churches. God loves to use weak and unqualified people to do his best stuff through the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. Guys, look at who God chose to use. Look who he left to be the beauties on duties. It's a Pastor Gary line. He says that. I'm just going to try and incorporate one in every message I have. Look who he left to be in charge. Uneducated common people, some of which had recently messed up big time, but they got filled with the Holy Ghost and there was no stopping them. When we believe these types of lies about ourselves, guys, it causes a paralysis. It causes an arrested development in us. And then the church does not add to its numbers daily. It causes the majority of the church to settle with just being a spectator. Do you know what I'm saying? With just being a consumer, because they feel that we have nothing to contribute, which leads to an epidemic of consumer Christianity. And then this whole thing gets really small, and it's just about attending church, obeying rules, and just trying not to cuss. You laugh. Do you know what I'm talking about here with that? It comes so small, so small, so small. The mission becomes so small of survival, of just like, oh, if I just make it through the day and I don't do anything bad or I don't cuss, oh man, it was a good day. That is so small. We were created and we were designed to do great things with God. But if we don't, for whatever reason, we can become critical of those who do. Because the most critical people were designed to do the most amazing things. It's just for whatever reason, whatever lie that has been believed, they believe that, and so it hinders them and hampers them. And then when they see other people doing what they know they were called to do, they get critical of them. And then this whole thing becomes about talk and not power. And it becomes more about keeping scorecards of services and preaching. I'm getting about a C today. Do you know what I mean? I can't stand that. We like the preaching there, but we don't like the worship as much. Or, oh, they're really good over in their kids ministry, but, oh, then this is wrong. And this and this and this. And it becomes consumer Christianity. Then, the pastor said this thing and I don't like it, and so now I got to go find a new church. That's ridiculous. I'm going to say something you don't like. I say things I don't like. You know? Like, have you not? And then you could come back and you repent or whatever. Hear me on this, though. It's ridiculous. What if we stopped that and we got delivered from consumer Christianity and we actually started living with a mission? And we started living with a vision. What if we actually believed that every believer was to demonstrate the miraculous power of Jesus Christ? That you were not created to just be a consumer, that you're created to do something. That you were designed actually to be a walking outpouring of heaven on earth. As the Father sent Jesus, he sends me. That wherever I go, many, Tyler, you can come, many would encounter the goodness of God. That many would encounter the miraculous power of Jesus, and that many would turn and repent and believe. Guys, we're supposed to be doing stuff that we cannot do on our own. We're not supposed to be living a safe, predictable routine of life. We're supposed to be taking some risks. The Lord's been speaking to me about this in my own life, that he's having me step out in moments where I'm like, I don't want to do that. And he's like, no, we're going to do it. You're going to talk to that person that you don't want to talk to. You're actually going to invite that person to come to church. I'm like, dude, really? Am I? Okay. Yes, we are. Yes, sir. You know? I'm risking. Hey, what's the worst that could happen? You could fail. But the worst thing could happen, you do nothing. And you live a safe, predictable, boring old life. Guys, this is an adventure. This is an adventure. It gets boring and predictable when we're consumers. It gets so small. We're supposed to be walking an adventure with him and doing things that we could never do on our own. And we're supposed to be living that kind of a life that will absolutely require full surrender in the power of the Spirit of God. And as a result, many will be added to our numbers. The church I see adds to their numbers daily. The church I see adds to their numbers daily. Not because they're building a church, they're building the kingdom. If you lead somebody to the Lord and they get plugged into a different church, praise the Lord! I'd love for them to come here, but that isn't the point. The point is the kingdom grows. The point is the kingdom advances. The point is many come to him. However they land, they need to land somewhere where they can plant and grow. But the point is the kingdom of God advancing and growing every single day. The church I see adds to their numbers daily. And that's, I believe, the church that Hope Church is to be, is a church that adds to our numbers daily, those that are being saved. I want to dig that hole out there. I want to dig a lake. Or buy 10 baptismal tanks because we've got such an outpouring of people coming to Jesus. It's not going to come through the professionals. It's going to come through all of us sharing the love and sharing the goodness and sharing the kindness of Jesus wherever we go. You know, we've been given so much in Jesus. We owe it to our city. We owe it to the world. We owe it. We can't keep this for ourselves, church. We got to go public. It's time to go public. Come on. Would you stand with me this morning?